The parade was certainly to underline the still remaining influence of Haftar and somehow also to demonstrate the unity and the military power of the East. It was on the occasion of the 7th anniversary of Operation Dignity. This was the military operation which retook Benghazi from the Islamists in an extremely bloody battle which lasted for more than 3 years. What remains in the mind of the Easterners is that with more than 15,000 killed on both sides, this was by far the bloodiest battle on Libyan soil since World War II. And Haftar is serving, of course, these grievances. The chair of the Presidential Council, Al-Menfi, and Prime Minister Dabeiba were invited to the parade, but they preferred to go on trips abroad. Quite remarkable. The House of Representatives chair, Aguila Saleh, who is from the East, stayed away without giving a specific reasoning, demonstrating, I would say, some personal distance from Haftar. It is quite telling which politicians attended, namely the Deputy Prime Minister Al-Qadrani and several other ministers and deputy ministers from the East. During his speech, Haftar pledged his full support for the elections in December. He said that direct election of the president is a right of the people, but at the same time, while giving these peaceful wordings, he demanded the dissolution of all armed groups in Tripoli and threatened again to use force to achieve this. But during the three-hour parade, the LNA did not show any new equipment which could be a game changer in an eventual renewed large offensive. So the LNA still lacks a real offensive capability. With regard to the LPDF, UN Special Representative Kubisch was not very pleased with the outcome, and he referred all the open questions to the House of Representatives, the legitimate parliament. They should find a solution until preferably June 20 in consent with the rival High Council of State. Well, that's not really an easy task, especially as the House of Representatives is not really famous for finding quick solutions. Libya is certainly again at a critical time right now.
The U.S. Ambassador and Special Envoy to Libya, Richard Norland, reviewed Saturday in a meeting with the head of the Libyan Presidential Council, Mohammed Menfi, the unification of military, security and other institutions in Libya, national reconciliation, removal of foreign fighters and elections in December. What could the U.S. do to help Libya achieve these goals?
First, they should be realistic about further reunifications. Much has already been achieved right now. The National Oil Corporation and the Central Bank of Libya are already unified. A reunification of the military and the security forces less than 1 year after the last major fighting is over is simply not realistic. I don't know any example of a civil war-torn country where such an endeavor has worked. Also, withdrawal of foreign forces and mercenaries before the elections is highly unlikely. What is achievable is a consolidation of the ceasefire by the establishment of a credible international monitoring mission. And this should be one of the main focuses of the United States, just as establishing some kind of insurance. Continued pressure to hold elections, not only on Libyan political leaders, but also on the international stakeholders who benefit a lot from the current government, is mandatory, especially on Turkey and Qatar. One needs to remember that President Erdogan has presidential elections coming up in early 2023. He cannot afford to get eventually a not-so-friendly president of Libya the year before. So I guess Turkey is not so eager to have elections in Libya anytime soon. The United States should support the preparation of the elections. They should encourage the Libyans to go to vote, and they should contribute to monitoring the elections within the framework of the United Nations. And they should keep in mind, even if the elections can be held successfully in December, it's not over yet. Libya would not become a stable country overnight.